The best democracy money can buy is a documentary film featuring Greg Palast and Lenny Bad Penny as they look into Operation Crosscheck, analyze the data, and find some of the 7.2 million Americans whose votes are threatened this November.
This is Greg Palast, Rolling Stone investigative reporter. I go on the hunt for the big fix that could steal the 2016 election, and I hunt down the billionaires behind the scam.
Again, that's the best democracy money can buy. Wednesday, October 26th, 5 p.m. at the Clinton Street Theater, 2522 Southeast Clinton Street in Portland. More information can be found at kbu.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Underground Grad School. Classes that begin in November include What's the Buzz About Bees, Criminal Law, Rewilding 201, and more. Portland Underground Grad School is also known as PUGS. Classes take place all over the Portland metro area. Information about registering, teaching classes, and more can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning, Cascadia. Today is Friday, October 21st, 2016, and you're listening to KBOO Portland, your community radio at 90.7 FM on the air, kboo.fm on the web. We've got a couple of guests today. Lonnie Douglas is the co-chair of the Eugene and Springfield Solidarity Network, is joining us in just a few moments, as well as Ed Fallon with the Fallon Forum out of Iowa. He brings us a bold Iowa report whenever possible. A lot going on the front lines in Iowa, where people who are more often than not thought of in terms of what they produce in the way of agricultural products. We're thinking corn and soybeans here for the most part. But if you threaten these people's land, they also, their connection may be of a different nature than the Standing Rock Sioux and all of the nations, the First Nations that are congregating there at Cannonball. But nonetheless, these people also have a unique connection to the land. That people in urban centers where there's a lot of churn going on, they don't have. They may consider themselves environmentalists because they own a $1,000 bicycle and like to go camping and drink microbrews. It's not quite the same as having a connection where your life depends on your connection to the land. When you have that, then you fight. You stand up and fight. It doesn't matter whether you're wearing overalls and a baseball cap, or whether you're whatever your protective coloration in your environment might be. If you have got that vital connection to the land, it's a very different fight. It's good. It's always good, whatever the connection might be. But people who move around a great deal have to find a different way to connect with that which they intend to protect. You got to connect before you protect. That's how it is. We find that in every case. And on that note, I want to just bring you. Yeah, we're going to be speaking with Ed Fowler. Ed has very little time. It's very generous of him, as always, to join us. I'm going to bring you that weather from Cascadia in just a few moments before we go to Lonnie Douglas. So let's speak with Ed Fallon Forum, Bolt, Iowa, and the Frontline. Good morning, Ed. Thanks for joining us today. Good morning. Have we got you on there?
Hey, Chris.
Yeah, hi. Good. Now I can hear you. Thank you so much at the last moment. You're definitely one of our regulars on Air Cascadia. And I want to right now turn this, I know you have a little time, so turn it over to you for a report on Bold, Iowa, and this week's events.
Well, we've been really, the pipeline company is moving very aggressively, even though they don't have full permission to complete this project yet. We've got some pretty strong opposition now from the federal government, from the Obama administration and the Army Corps of Engineers. We're not quite sure how that will play out in the end, but right now, you know, there's a lot of reasons why this pipeline may never be completed, but that's not stopping them from moving very aggressively. And they've also become very aggressive in how they are dealing with the protesters. And we had there are two different fronts in Iowa, one on the Mississippi River, and the other one about 300 miles away in northwest Iowa, and that's where Bold Iowa was organizing over the weekend. And we had a nonviolent training session. About 50 people, mostly local people, showed up, and then we were able to block construction at five different sites for a total of about 7 or 8 hours, which is pretty significant. And then the two shocking things that happened, one of the landowners, we drove by her property. She didn't expect to see any construction, and sure enough, they were actually hauling pipe across her land. She was not happy with that. So four of us went out there, and we blocked the trucks. And she was arrested on her own property. She and me were both arrested.
On her property?
On her own property. On her property, yeah.
What do they think? The companies... Which specific company were it's as though these corporations, these private interests, have taken over as a form of governance.
And well, they've learned how to co-opt the government. They've learned how to co-opt the government through campaign contributions, through other types of incentives, and through legal maneuvers. And so, you know, what used to be sacrosanct, you know, the ability to use and defend and protect one's own property has kind of been thrown out the window. I mean, this isn't an issue of a public purpose. This is a private pipeline company running oil through our state with no benefit to people here, but now has the authority to say, look, I own this land, even though you're the one paying property taxes. This is my easement, my land, and I'm going to have you arrested for being on your own property. It's an incredible and disturbing development.
We haven't seen anything like this before. It's a really unique situation, and the fact too that this is not front page news everywhere. That's what should really disturb people. That this is one of the very few, the Fallon Forum, of course, but obviously being there first, just as soon as the Fallon Forum posted bail, Fallon Forum was all over it. But no other media. We're trying to keep up with the events as they happen. which is pretty fast these days, and in every way, shape, and form, illegal. The companies don't even care about it. It's not even about eminent domain. It's we're running a pipeline through. Get out of the way, or we'll get you out of the way, it seems. Yeah. What do
We're pursuing legal options. We have lawyers who are, we're working with to move forward. We've pleaded not guilty, and we've asked for a jury trial. We think it's a very, very strong case and one that needs to be heard and that might have ramifications beyond this issue and beyond Iowa. So stay tuned for that. The other thing that happened on Saturday, Chris, that was pretty disturbing was one of our protest groups involved people, again, everybody was very respectful. They're trained in nonviolence. They're respectful. They're considerate. They're carrying signs. There's maybe some chanting. And a Native American woman from Northwest Iowa and her daughter are walking along the road, and a pipeline worker from Texas yells out of his pickup truck, "Hey, how much for the little girl?"
That
we are still in shock that somebody could do that, and we are in shock that local authorities were not willing to pursue charges, file a complaint. So we're also working on that. I mean, that's just now we're getting into the realm of basic human dignity, human rights, and this has been a problem at pipeline sites across the country. I mean, the creation of these man camps where you've got documented, you know, evidence repeatedly of prostitution, of other types of illegal activity, of even Native American women in particular being, you know, disappearing, being raped. And here we have this incident, and the pipeline company thinks it's not a problem, and neither does local law enforcement. So we're working with the woman and her daughter to try to make sure that there is some justice brought on that front as well.
And that's all the time we've got. On that note, I do hope listeners are there and that they've heard the full force of these the words you just heard from Ed Fallon. This is really there's a couple of truly stand up and fight points right there. If anybody needs any other impetus to get moving on this and stand in solidarity, this should do it. Ed, thank you so much. My guest has been Ed Fallon, the Fallon Forum.
Thank you, Chris.
Hear more from him in the upcoming days. And we now go to Lonnie Douglas, the co-chair of the Eugene Springfield Solidarity Network. On another incredibly important front, people seem to have forgotten what the Trans-Pacific Partnership would really do. The term is bandied about considerably in these election days without any, it appears, true understanding anymore. We used to have it. Lonnie, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. What's happened to people have used the term Trans-Pacific Partnership, both of the candidates, and yet seem to have lost sight of how incredibly dangerous and damaging this is. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, I think that people haven't really lost sight of how dangerous it is. The Trans-Pacific Partnership is something that people get behind, whether they're Democrat, get behind getting rid of it or not having it happen, whether they're Democrats or Republicans, liberals or conservatives. I think the problem we have right now is that people are distracted by the elections. We have very important ballot measures in Oregon that are coming up. We have, you know, presidential and down ticket elections, and these are all extremely important and will define our country over the next 4 to 8 years. So they're focused on that. The threat with the TPP right now, we've stopped it time and time again. But this time, President Obama and our current Congress are, what they're doing is they're going to push through a fast-track vote on the TPP during the lame duck session. That's their intent. So while everybody's distracted by the elections and the ballot measures, which are all extremely important, and the work that people are doing on those are extremely important, behind the scenes, we have people going to push the Trans-Pacific Partnership, basically sneak it in under the radar and behind our backs. And, you know, at the end of the lame duck session, we're all going to, you know, when everybody's recovered from all the work that they're doing, they're going to realize that it's one that snuck by them. And I think that's what the intent is.
You probably nailed it there. I would say I was certainly agree with that. What would you tell people who say that they aren't going to vote? Because we all know that this is an auction. The presidency has been auctioned off to the highest bidder. Yeah, we know that. But what would you? But it still does bear significant resemblance to an election, and it will have, as you say, long-term results that will indeed affect people's lives, auction or not, whether or not it's a real election. Doesn't matter because the results of whatever it is. Can you tell? What do you tell people who say to you? And we get this here also. Well, I'm not going to vote, or I'm going to vote for someone else. Because what do you tell people when they insist it's not important to vote?
People need to. What they need to do is they need to continue fighting the fights they're fighting. They need to. If you're working on a campaign for a new progressive candidate or working to pass a ballot measure or an initiative, keep working on it. But what you also need to do is take a little bit of time out of your day. Literally take 1 or 2 minutes, plug in your congressman or your congressman and your representative's numbers into your phone. And when you're sitting at, Starbucks getting a latte and you're waiting for your coffee to come up, call them up and chew them out. Tell them if they vote for the TPP during the lame duck session that you will get rid of them when they come up for re-election again. And if you're sitting at the doctor's office, just give them a call. Easiest way, the only way we stop this, because we don't get a vote on it, it's a fast-track vote, which means it will be in the middle of the night, there will be no debate, no discussion, it'll be a straight up and down vote. We'll go to sleep and there will be no TPP. We'll wake up and there will be a TPP. The only way we can stop it is by putting pressure on those politicians, and that's going to start right after the election. So what people need to do is work hard on stuff for the election, make sure you have those phone numbers in your phone, and you can start calling them now, but the day after the election, really hit them up and call them. I'm making phone calls